There's a biblical word that we don't use very often in our day-to-day lives, and that's the word reconciliation. It really is used today by some of our English friends, Great Britain friends, when they say putting things to rights. That at the cross, Jesus was making things right for all of us. And the Apostle Paul, who speaks at length about the cross and the absolute importance of it, in fact, in Paul's mind, there's nothing more important in life than the cross of Jesus Christ. And in talking about making things right, putting things to rights, Paul says this: for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. We live to a different standard now. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though there was a time when I considered Christ this way, but no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. And this is from God, who reconciled, put things to right, reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, that as God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, he commits to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he sums it up by advocating and commissioning and preaching to us, be reconciled to God. The biggest mistake we can make on Good Friday is to think it has nothing to do with us. Good Friday is not look at what Jesus did. Rather, it's look at what Jesus did for us. So Peter, who was confused at the point, and you remember the stories, when none of the apostles really grasped that Jesus was going to die, it was beyond them. Later, he understands fully. And now as an older man, he writes encouraging all of us as Paul did. And talking about Christ, here's what he says: for Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. And then on another occasion, he said, for you know, it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we have been redeemed, that we have been made right. You know, it's not with perishable things such as silver and gold that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers. There was always something missing inside of us that could only be touched by Jesus. And on the cross, we're touched. Not that we touch him. He reaches right into our heart and touches us. That's the cross. It's not a symbol. It's God in the form of Christ, who came to live for us and now comes to live in us. Every day we recognize the cross. It's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish. And it's true that the power of the cross for the Roman elite suggests power and shame. We have all the power and we will shame you. And yet, for Paul, it was the most significant event that had ever taken place, where Jesus takes our shame. And then Paul says, for I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, it's interesting that the first New Testament book that was actually written wasn't the Gospels. The first book written was written by Paul, and it was written to churches in Galatia. And here's what he says: may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In other words, what Paul is saying, I live by a brand new standard today. The only way that I could be saved from the world and from myself is through Jesus Christ. And can't we say amen to Paul? The only way that I could be saved from the world, and most often myself, is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is putting us to rights, reconciled. So the question I ask, if Jesus did not die for us, then who would? What other God would lower himself to come to this earth and take our place and die on a cross so that we would have the opportunity to make a decision as to whether or not that's relevant to us? But for millions of us, it is our life and breath. He is our life and breath. He knew us before we were born. He knows us now. He puts his spirit into us every day. And God pours out his spirit into our hearts. The Holy Spirit touching our spirit, knowing that we belong to Christ Jesus. So let me conclude my brief remarks today by trying to create a picture that I think is really wonderful and truly unique. We have no idea who wrote the book of Hebrews. Might have been a woman, might have been a man. We have no idea, but whoever wrote Hebrews created these pictures that were really very, very cool. And the Hebrew writer is trying to encourage Christians who were starting to fall back. They quit meeting together. They were feeling like this really isn't maybe for me, and they were backing away, and the Hebrew writer is encouraging them to come together. And what he does is he tells stories of, remember back in the old days, maybe your ancestors told you about this. This was Israel's history, where day after day, even though they had set up shop in the desert, the Israelites did, there were these high priests that every day they were offering sacrifices for sins. And the Hebrew writer is saying, do you want to go back to that time? Look what Jesus has done for you and is doing for you. And based on all of that, listen to what the Hebrew writer says. I can't help but smile because the point is so obvious. Picture this in your mind. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. So let's back it up. Every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, it starts again. Sunday, Monday, every single day of every day, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again, and he offers the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He's the only priest that sacrificed only once, and it was enough. Not just for them, but for us and for all who will come after us. We gather at the cross. His work is complete. And now he encourages us to live in him as he lives in us. He chose us long before we ever chose him. And maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking about making Jesus your choice. Let me just suggest to you, he's already chosen you. He's whispered your name even before the creation of the world, knowing that when he went to the cross, you weren't even born yet, nor I, but his invitation is, I know you, and come to me. So tonight, as we end our service, I want to do something just a little bit different. We have a symbol of a cross here tonight. We look at it every week. But what I'd like us to do tonight, because we've sung about the cross all evening, is I invite all of us to gather, and I'm just going to close in a prayer, a closing prayer. We're not going to do anything strange or anything unusual. We're not going to make anybody feel embarrassed in any way at all. But I'd just like all of us to come to the front, gather around the cross, and I'll have a closing prayer. So I invite all of us to come, and we'll do that. Maybe we can just all come in together. And if you feel comfortable, just take the hand of the person beside you. Let's pray. Father, this evening in this small place with this wonderful group of people, we recognize that there are millions of people around the world doing the same. We gather at this cross. Because of you, Father, we can gather here. How torturous it must have been, knowing that even before the creation of the world, this would be the price paid. We're so grateful, Jesus, that you have said yes to this sacrifice and that you have said yes to us. May we echo it back to you by saying yes to you, that you are our Savior, that you are our Lord, and that we follow you every day. And that the cross covers us of our sins, and that you gave the greatest sacrifice once and for all people of all times. We can't express the love we feel for you, but we give it to you to the best of our ability. And thank you for loving us so much. And we look forward to Sunday when we celebrate the great news of the resurrection. And we look forward to the day that we will see you face to face. And Father, we are so looking forward to the day when you come to this place and renew it and redeem it. You've already made it right, and we say yes to you. Please give us our safe traveling home tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone.